Hello and welcome to Sourcecast. I'm Joey Lombardi. It's the holiday season. And when it's the holidays, you talk about your friends, you talk about your family. IBM clearly wants to talk about their friends and family this week, and we'll get into that. EMC and Dell, they're like two divorced families that are coming together. They're like the Brady Bunch. We're going to learn about the Brady Bunch's first Christmas this year. Not the actual show. We're actually going to talk about EMC and Dell. And like Perot Systems is like Alice, or maybe really like Al the Butcher. You know Al the Butcher's out there, but do you see him every week? You don't. So with that, let's start the show.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
The major theme of the week for IBM has been their partnerships. I noticed that there were several articles celebrating the various partnerships that IBM has been involved with, either for a short term, like Apple and Box, or long term, like IBM has been in a relationship with AT&T. Let's start with AT&T and the 20-year relationship they've had with IBM, which is expanding. AT&T's managed application and managed hosting services will now be integrated into IBM's cloud portfolio. IBM will buy the equipment and floor space access in AT&T data centers supporting their businesses. That's good news for IBM. Also good news for IBM, they are celebrating the 100th application that they have released into the Apple iStore, or are part of their joint partnership with Apple. IBM believes that a mobile device along with apps could transform the working culture of people. In an article with investcorrectly.com, Lopez research lead Maribel Lopez states that the final objective of each app was to bring about simplicity that would undoubtedly make the user be excited. The IBM-Apple alliance was working since every firm could get some unique strength. IBM is also celebrating another new relationship with Box.com. We talked about Box a few weeks ago on this podcast. Their partnership is expanding. IBM announced the launch of two new integrated products, the IBM Case Manager and IBM Data Cap. Case Manager unites the content and processes to provide a 360-degree view of content and optimal case outcomes. IBM Data Cap is software that extracts information from document images to be used in EMC and other systems. But IBM wasn't all about partnerships this week. They're also continuing to do work on the Open Ledger project, which uses blockchain. This might sound familiar to you because blockchain is one of the core components of Bitcoin. While IBM is celebrating their partnerships, EMC and Dell are struggling to make theirs work. The good news is the period of evaluation for either company to find a new suitor has passed, and both companies plan to continue to move forward. Moving forward means there are $67 billion worth of debt that have to be raised and dealt with. One of the cornerstones of that debt management was leveraging VMware in partnership with EMC to enable an IPO of another company called VirtuStream. The IPO of VirtuStream was anticipated to generate billions of dollars in profit that would help Dell pay down the debt of the purchase of EMC and VMware. Due to the stock hit that VMware has taken since the announcement of the purchase, VMware stockholders pressured Dell to remove them from the IPO involvement, which Dell has agreed to do. Subsequently, Dell is now looking to raise cash by potentially selling Perot Systems. Dell is in the process of searching for potential buyers, some of which include the Indian firm Tata Consulting, French IT outsourcing firm Atos, Genpak, and Canadian company CGI. In addition to that activity, Michael Dell has another company that he owns, not part of the overall Dell consortium, called SecureWorks. The talk is that Dell will actually try to IPO SourceWorks as well to help raise cash. Dell hasn't revealed in the SEC paperwork how much he hopes to earn from the IPO, but sources at Wall Street Journal stated that Dell was hoping to raise at least $1 billion and would start the roadshow in December. So clearly, there's a lot of movement in the world of EMC and Dell. They're still struggling to figure out a proper way to pay down the amount of debt that's incurred should this deal go through, but it looks like they're taking the right steps. They're looking at all of their assets. They're looking at what they can potentially sell off to make this deal work. You know, I'll keep following it. We don't talk about Oracle too much in the podcast or on the blog, and that's not for lack of desire. There just really isn't a lot of information that's publicly available consistently about the company. They do a very good job of suppressing information. But I wanted to talk about them at the end of the year, and I did a little bit of research. And last year, right before the holidays or right around the holidays, they had a rally. I don't think that's going to happen this year. My favorite blog, Seeking Alpha, did an article on Oracle, which they don't cover too much. And they asked the question, is Oracle likely at some point in the foreseeable future able to return to some reasonable level of organic growth? And they go on to say that they don't think so. The comment is that Oracle essentially sells two major product families, database and enterprise applications. Neither of these have a particularly high growth rate. And in some cases, for database, the growth rate may be zero. And Oracle has a commanding share of the database market at the moment. Some might say a monopoly. So the talk is that there really isn't a tremendous amount of growth foreseeable in their core product bases. And Oracle is enjoying better performance or growth in the cloud market. But are you going to see those double-digit growth margins as a whole? Not for a while. BusinessFinanceNews.com goes on to say that guidance for the upcoming quarters for Oracle are expected to be disappointing. It doesn't look like they're going to meet their third quarter earnings growth. They're projecting for 60 to 63 cents, and the target was 65. Software as a service and platform as a service revenue is expected to grow in the range of 49 to 53%. But again, their traditional markets are in single digit to zero growth. A tough time for Oracle right now. It's the same story for all of the old school tech firms. They're transitioning into new markets. They're jettisoning the things that aren't making profit. They are in a time of transition. What's HP up to this week? Apparently making Star Wars commercials. Yeah, so there's been a bunch of commercials with HP products for Star Wars. I don't really have anything else to say about that. And may the Force be with you. I don't know. Depending on what department you're in, the end of the year could either be a calm, reflective period where you can catch up on all the emails, clean up your desktop, get ready for 2016, or it could be your hair's on fire, things got to get done before December 31st, straight up retail organization style. I happen to fall into that last category. So for those of you who may be listening that are in a procurement type division or working in retail or working in anything that may be busy this time of year, here are six ways to salve off burnout before it's career terminal. Number one, attend a conference. Because sure, when you're at your busiest, of course you would go to a conference. I'm joking. They mean once you're out of your busy period, schedule a conference. Go reach out to other people who are like-minded and learn together. That actually makes a lot of sense, all sarcasm aside. I recently had an opportunity to go to a very small user groups meeting or conference, whatever you want to call it. Interact with people who are not of my company. And it was lovely. It was lovely to be able to exchange ideas, to see how other people do things, to see if you measure up, to see if you are ahead in some cases, or if you're falling behind. It's actually a really good opportunity to put things in perspective. Number two, do more work that you enjoy. Of course. By the way, this is an entrepreneur.com article. So if you're feeling burnt out, of course it makes perfect sense to stop doing work that you don't like to do and do more work that you do like to do. I think that's a little simplistic. The article does suggest to take an inventory of how you spend your day by keeping a journal. And I actually do think that's a very good idea to help you understand some of the tasks that you're constantly performing. See if you could do some of those better. If you could push those to the side of your desk. Or if you can do those in bundles, which will free more time to focus on the things that you enjoy. Delegate. Once again, the idea of pushing work aside that you don't want to do. From an entrepreneur's perspective, that certainly makes a lot of sense. If you're the head of the department or you are the owner of a company, you can easily delegate things. But if you are closer to the bottom, and some of my listeners are people starting out in their career, delegation is not necessarily the easiest task because you are the person that has been delegated to. My personal advice in that scenario would be to take that delegation, that task you have been given, as an opportunity to understand your role better, to understand why people don't like doing that, and to potentially offer a suggestion on how to do it better so you can get out of doing it. Somebody once told me, you give work to your busy people because they know how to get it done and they know how to get it done quickly because they're too busy to do it any other way. So don't take delegation or task. See, I'm flipping it around. But don't take that delegation or task as a punishment. Take it as an opportunity to impress. Suggestion number four, get involved outside of the office. This is critical. You have to have a life outside of the office. You have to have hobbies and interests that will strengthen your commitment to your job because you need income to do hobbies. I've found, I don't think there are many free hobbies out there, but it's important to have something to look forward to when you leave the office. And maybe you could even get your coworkers involved in whatever your hobby is to help strengthen the work environment. Number five is do something different. If you're in a rut, shake things up. Maybe reorganize your office. Really? Reorganize your office? I do agree that doing things different is helpful if you feel like you're in a rut, but maybe you flip your tasks around, something that you would do later in the day, you start in the beginning, get up and take a walk, go reach out to somebody that you don't normally talk to at work, or talk to a friend that maybe doesn't work where you work. Just change it up. Go out and take a long lunch if you have to. I don't recommend doing that too often, but if you're burning out, change it up. Do something that makes you happy during the day. Number six is just to move on. If you can't find the spark, maybe it's time to find something else. You got to do things the right way, though. Make sure that you have solid and reputable recommendations on your way out. You don't burn bridges. But if the job's not speaking to you, there's no shame in looking for something else. Was that a bummer? Was that a bummer to end on? I think that's a bummer. I think I'll end it on a more loving note then. And this one goes out to Tracy. I recently read an article from a Mr. Jim Joseph, who is a master marketer, on why he gives everyone hugs, even clients. Mr. Joseph says, if I've known you for a while, and we've never met in person, then you're going to get a hug. If you're a friend of a good friend, you're going to get a hug. If you're a colleague and we worked closely together, then you're going to get a hug. Clients also get hugs, especially if they're people that I've been working with, or if we've just had a good working session. He goes on to say, I don't care if you're male or female, you're going to get a hug. Well, maybe not everyone, every time, but you get the point. All facades aside, hugs are okay. They're not necessarily my favorite thing, and I know there are a few coworkers that are probably laughing right now. I think it depends on the time that you were brought up and you started in corporate culture. It was probably more acceptable in some ways to give hugs. Like back in the day, I think a hug is probably not considered as threatening. We came up in the 90s and the 2000s. Hugging becomes more problematic, physical contact, the birth of HR. That's where I started my career. So touching and physical contact, I tend to stay away from those sort of things. But I think as the millennials come in, and on last week's podcast, we talked about the separation of personal life and work life sort of blending together, which it should be less of an issue. I think we went too strong the other way, but that particular flavor of corporate culture has been stamped upon me. So, you know, enjoy those hugs and don't try to sneak up on me and hug me because that's weird. Happy holidays, everyone. This may be the last supplier-focused episode of the year. We should get at least one podcast out, but it'll be a panel and maybe an interview if I'm lucky. But thank you so much for listening for the last few months. It's been a learning experience. I hope you've enjoyed the shows. I'm going to keep doing them, and I'm looking forward to 2016. Take care.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.